This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pets. My name is Brandi Stark and we are once again hosting Ellie Lax with The Gentle Barn, who has a brand new children's book. So for this episode, we are going to take a look at not only her children's book, but what she has observed through her charity work with animals and how they interact with children. And we'll do that right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, and welcome back. So with us, we have Ellie Lax. How are you doing today?
Good. Good to be back.
Now, are you in Tennessee or California?
I'm at our California location right now.
Okay, so you're a little further back behind us. So it's 4 here and 12 there, huh?
Yep, and it's very hot in California. So we're spending a lot of time cooling down the animals today.
Oh, I bet. It's been really toasty in Florida. I don't know if y'all get the same thing that we do, where we have the immense humidity. And so then it's like walking through soup constantly. But yeah, I know the pugs have had to be in and the AC has been on. Welcome to summertime in America.
Oh, yeah.
So how have you been doing? Everything going well with Gentle Barn?
Yeah, things are going really well at the Gentle Barn at both our locations. Despite the heat, it's very humid at our Tennessee location, very hot at our California location. We're just making sure our staff feels good and our animals are cooled down. And that is a full-time job.
I bet. Now, how do you keep your animals cool? I imagine it's a lot of hosing them down and electrolytes. And I mean, how do you take care of them in the summer?
Yeah, you know, every species has a different protocol. So birds have to get their feet into water. So our turkeys, chickens, and peacock, and guinea fowl, if they're overheated, we put their feet in water and hold them there until their breathing returns to normal. The only bird that we can hose off is our emu, Earl. He's got different feathers than chickens and turkeys, and he loves to get wet. Our pigs we hose off, our horses we hose off, and the cows, goats, sheep, alpacas, and llamas, we put ice packs on their ankles because we actually can't hose them off. And donkeys also. With those very furry animals, actually hosing them off could be deadly because the little beads of water get trapped in their fur. And then throughout the day, they actually get even hotter. So it's called the greenhouse effect. So with those animals, we just put ice packs on their ankles, provide them a lot of shade, a lot of water. We give electrolytes into their grain. And so far, so good.
Oh, that's awesome. So now, for anybody who's ever wondered, there you go. Luckily, pugs, and you got to meet right before the episode, the newest Stark Pug Clan Grumble member, Telemachus, who is a 12-week-old black pug puppy. He is the only one with me right now. We're giving his elder siblings a break because he is the bratty kid brother, but I don't know what he's even barking at. He's just standing in the room barking. I hope he'll be a paranormal pug. I'm going to keep an eye on you, boy. See what kind of sensitivity you've got. But anyway, Mark is used to working with noise. I imagine that you are too. So as long as he's happy and he seems to be entertaining himself at whatever he's barking at, it's not a ghost, is it, baby? Because if it is, you got to tell him to wait. I'm on a podcast right now. We'll deal with it later. Who knows? I swear, since my mother's had her diagnosis, I think my dad has been hanging out here. So maybe that's what he's seeing. But
wow.
Thank God for dad, because this woman is a handful. So it's, even if I have to have spectral help from the other side, I will take it. So I know that you have had some new projects coming up. What is the newest thing that you've done?
Well, I'm very excited to announce my third book, but only my first children's book. It's called Gentle, and it's available for pre-order right now anywhere books are sold. But the pub date is August 11th. So 2 weeks more to go, and it will be in every store and on Amazon. I'm very excited about it. Really, if I had to narrow down my purpose on this earth into one sentence, it would be I came to tell these animals stories and show the world how beautiful these animals are. And so I'm so excited that I can inspire children to love animals more, to understand them more, and to grow up to protect them more.
Especially right now, you know, the world is very chaotic. And I think adults are absolutely taking refuge in their pets. I imagine children do too. And so it's important to have that kind of guidance and understanding. And happily, I think our society is starting to get to that point. And I think Gentle Barn, however, you know, you guys have a little bit of a different reminder as well, because you deal with some animals that end up as a food source. And so presenting children with maybe an alternate view of those animals is very important.
Yeah, we do rescue animals who would otherwise be euthanized or slaughtered. We have several cows that literally were inside a slaughterhouse and we were able to save them. And so Actually, Gentle, my children's book, it is the true healing journey of a calf who was born on the kill floor of a slaughterhouse. And we were able to bring him out of there to the Gentle Barn. He was so sick and he had such a high fever that we weren't able to help him. We knew we were going to lose him. And so my husband and I moved him into our house to have the air conditioning. I moved downstairs to become his mom, and I was with him 24/7 for 9 months. My husband built a homemade oxygen tent that Lewis and I would sit in 3 times a day to help his lungs heal. We had great veterinary care. And this whole time, while loving Lewis, our dog Sky was with him as well. So Sky and Lewis became best friends and played like a couple of puppy dogs. But the book and the illustration in this book are so beautiful. They're so soft and magical. And it just shares Lewis's healing journey. It's so beautiful.
That is wonderful. Now, what was his ultimate destination? Do you still have him, or has he crossed over?
No. So John Lewis is, he just turned 6 years old last week on July 23rd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He just made it through all that.
He made it out of a slaughterhouse. He made it from severe pneumonia. And little by little, because of the gentleness that surrounded him, because of the love that surrounded him, he wanted to live and he made it. And,
that's incredible.
Our living room, and we took him for walks and he played with our dog and he met the other animals. And eventually he started spending time with the other cows and he chose to start living with them. So I was looking forward to having him in my house his whole life, but he wanted to be a big boy cow and live with the other cows. But he's huge now. He's like 2,500 pounds.
I
bet. Massive. But still, when he hears my voice, when I call him, he comes running over. He takes cookies from my hands. He lines his body up along the fence so I can scratch his shoulders and his body. I nursed him. I bottle fed him for 3.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible. And he made it. So essentially, you became his herd.
I became his mom. Yeah. I'm his mom. Yeah.
And so do you find, because we had talked before about how cattle connect with one another in a herd, how does he interact with you now? I mean, you're still his mom, but are you still part of his herd, or is there a kind of a different interaction, or is it an adapted interaction where he's not only interacting with his own cattle species, but also with you?
So unfortunately, I'm not a cow. And if I was a cow, I'd be with him 24/7 for the remainder of his life. But unfortunately, I'm a human and I have a job to do and I have other animals to take care of and I have staff to manage. And so I can't be with him 24/7. And so he's got a lot of aunties, uncles, cousins, kind of adopted brothers and sisters in the herd that absolutely play with him, guide him, protect him, nurture him. and kind of take care of him. And then when I show up, he hears my voice, his ears prick forward, his eyes get wide. He comes right over to me. And I spend a lot of time every single time I'm with him, scratching his shoulders and massaging him and loving on him until he feels satiated. And then I give him a kiss and he gives me a lick and he meanders back to his herd. So there's no estrangement. He's adapted to being a cow, but having this human mom come see him. And it's worked out really well.
Oh, that's really cool. So what inspired you to turn this into a children's book?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And along the writing journey, it started as a chapter book for older kids because I wanted to tell every nuance of his delicious story. But what was missing in a chapter book is these incredible illustrations and how gorgeous it all was and how magical it all was. And so the more I thought about it, the more I needed this to be a picture book because I needed to articulate through color, the beautiful transformation that Lewis had. And so it very quickly became a picture book where people can really enjoy the illustrations and understand the story in a much more visual way.
Okay. And again, the end goal is to offer a different perspective, offer children hope, a compassion element, right? Understanding that herdness, that actually I was thinking even he was kind of the underdog, right? That even the underdog has a shot, right? That he overcame all of this and not only survived, but is thriving and kind of manages to deal with both his cattleness and his human upbringing. So that's kind of a unique position, particularly for a bull, because they're big and they can sometimes, they have their own personality that does come with being a bull. So I think that's kind of an interesting message for children to hear, that interconnection, compassion, and kindness. So I'm assuming that's why it's called gentle. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, those of us that love cows and know cows for who they are, we like to describe cows as just giant grass puppies. But there's this debate of like, are they really as intelligent as dogs? Are they really as playful and loving as dogs? But here is this very unique story where we literally rescued him from one of the darkest places on earth, but he became like one of our dogs. He lived inside the house, laid on a dog bed. He went on walks with a leash. He came when we called him. His best friend was a dog. So literally we put a cow in a dog's kind of setting and pretty much proved, yeah, it's true. They are literally exactly like dogs. And so for children to read this very true story about Lewis, they can cheer for him and root for him. They can be on the journey with him and they can come to know him like most people know and love dogs and realize that there's not that much difference between dogs and cows. And hopefully the reader will fall in love with cows more and want to come to the Gentle Barn and hug cows and meet cows in person.
Okay.
The reason why I called it gentle is because Lewis was literally born in the darkest place on earth, but with the gentleness at the Gentle Barn, the gentleness from me as his mom, the gentle veterinary care from Jay and our family, the gentleness from Sky and the other animals, that gentleness allowed him to want to live and to eventually thrive. And it's kind of a metaphor for the way the world is right now. There's a lot of darkness, violence, and hopelessness in our world right now. And what's going to heal that darkness is gentleness. And so it's kind of a call to action where I'm asking the reader and their families to start that discussion of how we all, no matter how young or old, how we all can practice gentleness in our own lives, because it is the gentleness in our families, homes, and communities that will start lighting up the darkness of our world and creating more gentleness everywhere. So it is a call to action.
Absolutely. Now, on that thought, we're going to pause. We've got some commercial breaks to deal with, but when we get back, we'll talk about what you've observed with children and their bonds to animals at the Gentle Barn as kind of an interesting connection. Is there that empathy and is it different than what we see in adults? So we will tackle that topic right after these messages.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Stewart.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the Tail Wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
All right, welcome back. So, how many children have you had come to the Gentle Barn? I assume children are allowed under supervision. I mean, you know, I understand that.
Yes, of course. We host school field trips, private tours. We're open to public on Sundays from 10 to 2. And one of the main reasons that the Gentle Barn exists is that children can come to the Gentle Barn, meet animals of all shapes and sizes, all backgrounds and stories, see the similarities between us instead of the differences, and open their hearts to all living beings. So yes, children are not only allowed at the Gentle Barn, but they are urged to come to the Gentle Barn and see life in a different way. We have had over a million guests come through the Gentle Barn over the last 27
years.
A large majority
that's of incredible
children. Yeah, and it's beautiful because, you know, as adults, we have been told who to eat, you know, what to eat, who and what to eat. We have been told that some animals are lovable while other animals are dangerous. We've got all kinds of notions about animals in our heads and fears that go along with that. But children, for the most part, don't have all of those things. They're just pure openness of heart and mind. So when they come to the Gentle Barn, they don't say, oh, emus are dangerous. Oh, cows are dumb. No, they look into the animal's eyes. They break into a big smile. Their little hands reach out to pet and hold the animals, and there's no barriers. And so what the Gentle Barn does for these children is that it keeps them open to animals, and it keeps them connected to the natural world, and it keeps their hearts pure and open in the hope that future generations will do more for animals than the prior ones. So it's very, very beautiful to see the interaction between kids and animals. They want to rub their bellies, hold the chickens. They want to hug the cows, feed the horses carrots, and their faces are pure delight.
Yeah, I think there is something. I mean, children in today's society are still associated, of course, with a level of innocence, as are animals, right? But you are correct. There is the preconceived ideas, particularly, I think, as we have really grown into cities, although apparently, just as an FYI, I just heard this morning, I think through NPR, but there is now a trend of children leaving cities, which I think is interesting, maybe going to smaller towns and more rural areas for matters of safety, health, cleanliness. And it is truly interesting, but I am a city slicker. I will admit to that. And so my mother's generation grew up, many of them were kind of that transitional, the boomer generation transitional between really the farming life and the more industrial, corporate and technological and all of that sort of thing. So it's interesting because I think if you can get to children, again, I've always been amazed that when I teach world religions, we talk about animism and other types of religions and the idea of everything in nature having a soul or spirit. And every now and again, I'll pop in and I'll say, well, where do you think meat comes from? And there's a store down chain over here called Publix. So it's a big grocery chain. And they'll say Publix. And I'm like, no, let's look up. Yeah. I mean, I don't make them look it up, but I'm like, y'all know what meat is, right? You know, so that disconnect. And again, even the idea that children, they've been implementing little urban farms in schools locally so that children understand how much work it is to actually grow a fruit or vegetable, because we were so out of touch that we were thinking the only way to get food was to open a can, like this stuff just magically manifested, you know, as a way to kind of push back against food waste and have a greater understanding and connectivity to, you know, what we consume and what we interact with. So I imagine that's a big part with Gentle Barn, is getting people and children in particular to connect. What's one of the best empathetic, if you will, spiritual connections that you've seen between children and the animals?
You know, I have so many stories, but the one that comes to mind to tell today is a story about she was more like a teenager, but she's still a child. I mean, she's, you know, an older one, but she's a teenager, and it was during the pandemic, and she had lost her biological parents, and she was in a foster home, and she felt very, very alone. She loved animals, didn't feel understood. Animals were the only things that gave her hope. She was living in a foster home devoid of animals. She was very isolated. She was very alone. And quite frankly, she was suicidal. And her caseworker reached out to the General Barn and said, you know, I know you're closed for the pandemic, but do you think that we can bring her anyway? Because she is in real crisis. And so, of course, I said yes. And she came in not wanting to look at me, not wanting to engage with me, very shut down. So, of course, I ushered her right into the cow pasture as fast as I possibly could. And it was John Lewis, the hero of my book, Gentle, who bounded over to her, started licking her arms and giving her kisses on her face until she burst out laughing. She was giggling so hard that he opened her right up. And then she started asking questions about him and listened to his story. And before I knew it, she was looking in my eyes. She was talking to me. And then she opened wide up to me and to all the other animals. She ended up hugging cows. But it was John Lewis that kind of made her laugh and made her come out of her shell.
He might have sensed that. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. The event was extraordinary. How she responded was extraordinary. But the most extraordinary thing about this story, I feel, is how he knew that she just needed a good laugh. And I see this time and time again where our cows know exactly what people need. If they need to laugh, they do something silly. If they need to ground, they meditate with them. And if they need real healing from grief and trauma, these cows wrap their necks around them and hold them. And it is an absolute honor to watch them do this work. And on that particular day, it was John Lewis who saved the day and opened this teenager up. And she came every week for the remainder of the pandemic. And those animals saved her life.
Wow. Yeah, because I can only imagine, because even those, you know, those of us that weren't dealing with all of that, I mean, that extreme isolation and the comfort that pets brought and animal contact brought, because again, that was kind of unprecedented. It's kind of weird because with my mom, we watched some of the older TV shows like NCIS, New Orleans and things like that. And towards the last season that they had, they deal with the pandemic. And I'm like, just listening to it, it's, even though it's super condensed for the show, it's amazing to me because I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's right. That was only 6 years ago. And look at all of the stuff that we endured and went through and, you know, survived. But I certainly didn't have that same level of disconnect at the time as this teenager. And then, of course, you have to add in, you know, the teenager dynamics and all of the shifts that she had in her life, that had to be really traumatic. So I'm really glad the Gentle Barn was there, that she was actually able to bond with that community. Hopefully I imagine she continues to support you, if nothing else, other than to talk about her experience, bring some interest and intrigue, and hopefully she comes back to visit her puppy dog, her grass puppy, her big grass puppy.
Yes, and actually came to find out that she had the same birthday as John Lewis, which was crazy. So I think of her on July 23rd every year.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, that just passed. Wow. And that's crazy. Yeah, sometimes I think that weird numerological thing that happens, you know, is another special connection. Like I got three pugs, three different places over with 10 years between one and the other two, and the other two with a span of 3 or 4 months in between my getting them. And they all ended up sharing the same birthday. And I'm like, I don't know how that happens. Yeah, it's like it's a 0.0001% possibility of ever happening. I had somebody help me work it out. But it's that type of thing where you're like, you know, I know it seems crazy, but I think this is meant to be. And it sounds like for her, it was really meant to be, that connection. Well, if folks or when folks reach out to you, now I know I am now following your TikTok channel, so I get to check in. But how can they find out more about the Gentle Barn? How can they set up a visit? How can they see what you guys are up to?
Yeah, so please check out gentlebarn.org and you can read a little bit more about our mission. You can set up a cow hug therapy session or a private tour or come on a Sunday, get tickets for a Sunday. And then the Gentle Barn is on all social media platforms. It's at the Gentle Barn. We are on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. So come fall in love with the animals, either closer or from far away.
Oh, I think that would be wonderful. And if they would like to find out more about your book, Gentle, how can they do that?
Yes, Gentle is on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, in indie bookstores, anywhere books are sold, and you can get a signed copy at gentlebarn.org. So buy Gentle. And I have to say, obviously, it's a children's book, but I have to say for those of you that might not have young children, you can read it out loud to your animals, or you can just read it to yourself at times when you're feeling stressed or lonely and you need a pick-me-up. It's a very melodic, easy read. The illustrations are so hopeful. It's not just for children. So get a copy and enjoy.
And that's fantastic. And I agree. I mean, there are times when the world seems so overwhelming that sometimes a children's book, as silly as it may sound, it has a very simple, direct message and usually one of hope. And so, yeah, that's a great time, you know, if you're ever feeling down. I have a couple of books that have been given to me that I will take a look at every so often and just go, yep, that's right. That's right. Okay. Take a deep breath. We can do this. Well, it has been absolutely delightful to talk with you again. Definitely keep us informed as to what is going on with the Gentle Barn. And if there's anything we can do for you here from Florida, let us know. But thank you for being a guest once again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again. And good luck with that puppy.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's still crazy. He's been here a month and I'm still going, oh my God, what was I doing? But it's fine. It's fine. He is a doll baby. He is very sweet. It's just, I miss my soulful little puppy. I now have the demon child version until he's like five. But that's okay. That's okay. So, but he's very, very sweet. So if anybody else is out there and about the Spirits of St. Petersburg, we are still up and running. We are getting ready to celebrate our 30th year next year. We were founded in 97. So to 2027, I cannot believe I'm this old. But we are also launching, we actually just launched a brand new website for our walking tour called St. Peter's Boo. We just did an air-conditioned bus tour on haunted history called the Summerween bus tour. So it was nice and air-conditioned because as we were talking at the beginning, it's freaking hot right now. We have gotten some investigations at some local places like Chataways and Rocket Fizz, of all places, a big candy store that is... It got some residents from its prior existence as a bar, oddly enough. We are doing the Crest building. My studio has been active lately, and I've even had a few things happening here at home from time to time, most likely my dad, but I'll take it. So feel free to check us out, spiritsofstpete.com. I'm getting ready to expand the second volume of Supernatural St. Petersburg and Paranormal Pinellas with some new stories and content from this year. And if you are in the area and you would like a haunted history experiential tour, we are at stpetersboo.com. So thank you so much for listening. We are gathering up some new shows, particularly as October is, I mean, technically Summerween, right, starts June 22nd. So it's Halloween season from June 22nd on. That's as far as I can tell. That's the truth. So we are getting ready to get some new content out there for y'all. And I look forward to sharing with you. On behalf of Paranormal Pets and Gentle Barn, I thank you for listening and have a very good day. Happy hauntings.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.